Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in to another helping of Terrace Talk here on a Monday evening. A lovely Monday evening here in Tralee Studios, nice and live. And so if you're out for an old walk or something, maybe keep us on in the background. I'm Donal Barry, of course, and I'll be with you until 8 o'clock this evening with a show that will feature an awful lot about this year's Senior County Championship football. And of course, we will have the live quarterfinal draw as well this evening just after 6:40, so stay tuned for that. It'll be quite exciting to see who gets who, and I suppose, you know, it'll be a week off for football next week because of it, but we'll all get quite excited again. Quarterfinals and semi-finals, off we go. Joined, of course, by John Kennedy and Liam Broston here in studio, and we will look back, I suppose, at round three. I suppose we'll skirt through it maybe pretty quickly this evening with all the drama of it. In the second hour as well, we're going to talk a little about the reaction to the draw, of course, and then just maybe after half seven this evening, I'll have another All-Ireland winner, of course, on the line, but he's going to talk to us about his new role as head coach of St. Paul's National Basketball League team. That, of course, is Brian Clark, and we'll have a couple of these players on as well. It'll be nice to wind down, I suppose, with a bit of basketball chat at the end of the show. Now, get in contact with us by calling 066 712 3666, or you can text us or WhatsApp us, of course, on 083 300 3300, if you have any comments at all about maybe the football over the weekend, or maybe something different as well. Were you watching the Ryder Cup maybe, or were watching the rugby over the weekend? Or God help us, even if you're a Liverpool fan, maybe you have something to give out about, maybe send this in. Or even if you're a Jets fan, maybe how close were we last night? And of course, the eight teams going into the draw, of course, are East Kerry, Mid Kerry, Rathmore, Dingle, Temple No, Spa, St. Cairns and the Gael. Were you at any of those games at the weekend? Maybe get around and send in a quick old comment. Delighted, as I said, to have Liam and John. They're all dressed up tonight, actually. No cheap jackets tonight, lads. No nice shirts.
No sponsors on them.
They'll fade away into the background fairly quickly. We're getting to the business end. Obviously, we know our quarterfinals, but we'll keep the show the way it always is. We'll stick with Group 1. East Kerry, Temple No, Liam. Everybody said East Kerry were going to win it, and they did, really, didn't they? But to be fair, Temple No got a lot out of this game, I would imagine.
Did it, Dorn? Look, I suppose it was a real contest up to the 66 minute. You know, it was 199 points. I suppose the goal was the big bearing in the game, from Patrick Darcy, who is another player who really has impressed me in the last couple of games. You know, a good working centre forward. You know, played even against West Kerry, it was very lively. You know, kicked his few points. But yeah, look, East Kerry are where we all think they were going to be, and they're probably I know they're still in first gear.
Yeah.
And the two boys made the appearance towards the end. So it'll be, yeah, I suppose things will be ramping up now. We're quarter final stage, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. They got their win. It's interesting you mentioned Patrick Darcy, because I suppose in many ways the East Kerry management have got to look at, we'll say, the players that mightn't have been in the starting 15 at the start, when you take out maybe three or four of the marquee players, you need guys to go in. But he's done quite a good job.
Yeah, and you've got to give credit to the East Kerry management as well. I know we all know the pool of players that they have, but sometimes it can be a lot harder to manage a very good team than it is an average team. And look, they've lost Spa down through the years. They've lost Rathmore last year, you know, and they seem to be replacing guys like Matt Rainey's coming in. He's doing a job. Patrick is doing a job. All these guys. So yeah, look, they're a formidable district team at the moment. But you've got to give credit to Timpin Law. Like I said, up to the 66 minute, they were hell for leather with him. Mm. Without Adrian Spillane, yep. You know, so
hell for leather. I watched the game. It was a game, and it lacked for me the intensity of a championship game. I mean, obviously there were two sides at the top end. They were going through. I suppose in many ways, what impressed me with Temple Law was that they were able to contain East Kerry for long stages. I mean, 113 isn't a frightening score to concede. No. And they were still kind of involved at the latter end of the game as well.
Exactly. Like I said, the goal was the big difference. So I think any team that'll draw Temple Law won't have anything easy in the quarter final. Mm-hmm. Now you've all the Crowleys there. Hopefully they'll probably have Adrian back. Now Killian is your marquee forward up front. Every club would love to have a marquee forward like Killian. He'll score for you.
Yeah.
You know, so you have Morley and these guys. Stephen O'Sullivan. No, so there's a tough game there for someone with Timberlake. Yeah.
And they have their own Tom Sullivan in Mark Casey.
Oh, they have, yeah. Another guy that's really after putting his head above the pulpit as well.
Yeah.
Don't know, so yeah.
There's enough there. Right, so that was easy enough, wasn't it? 113 to 12 points. John, I have a lot of comments about the next game. I'm not going to go through the whole lot of them because we'll be here with a while. Obviously, the second game, the group didn't go ahead. West Kerry, South Kerry, we mentioned last week that they were too proud, I suppose, districts, and they were going to go head-to-head, and people said it was dead rubber of a game. It's disappointing.
Yeah, it's disappointing, Donald, you know, when you just can't field. It's disappointing. It was a game of no consequence, I suppose, playing for pride. You know, and we spoke last week about Lisbon hosting the previous round and the pride and that. But look, teams don't take those decisions lightly. Obviously, they hadn't the team for one reason or another. It was disappointing for Sulkerry, because it was their first home game, and you know it was always great to have a game down in the south, you know, to finish off and get 2 points on the board for either team. But look, unfortunate was Kerry are a proud district, you know, a lot of inter-county players done in that West Kerry over the last number of years, mm-hmm. you know, at minor, under 21, senior and junior. So it's about recircling the wagons again. There's a lot of talk about the format of the county championship. There's a lot of talk about maybe the two losers and the two winners meet in the second round, which might, you know, cut out this dead rubber. But look, unfortunate, and you know, it's been a medium of conversation since the news broke. But look, this moves on. West Kerry will regroup, and I've no doubt they'll come back bigger and better than ever. It's not too long ago since East Kerry were in a similar position, you know. Mm-hmm. It goes in phases. There's always a reason, and you know, there's great people involved. I've no doubt they'll come back. But for South Kerry, disappointing that they hadn't the home game.
Yeah, and Kinmare District a couple of years ago didn't travel back to West Kerry for a Dingle game, and I suppose last year, I suppose to be fair, your buddies out there in St. Cairns and your buddies over there in Shannon kind of skirted around it. They completed the fixture, but maybe not with the strongest team and the whole lot. It might actually ask bigger questions about the championship and the whole lot, and we might ask those questions later on, and we might have a couple of solutions for it. The shock of the week in mm-hmm. Group 2, was it the shock of the week? Rathmore went down to Kinmare and they turned them over fairly comfortably.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be close, but I said last week I thought the home venue might just shade Kilmare. But I do think probably the eighth week in a row, probably after catching up with Kilmare. No, long.
It's kind of understandable that club sides with a limited enough panel,
exactly, yeah,
will get tired and I mean week after week, and every game seems to be a must win game, and they have to keep the temperature hot for every game. And really, with a club, I mean, all you need is one occasion where you're not hot and you can get caught.
Yeah, and your marquee player then, which is Sean Ishay, you know, you'll keep looking at him for the 8 weeks to produce. And to be fair to him, himself and Paul Murphy had a good old battle, and Paul did well on Sean. And look, teams go out and they'll try it. And the Kilmare or St. Kieran's did the same last week. You know, they went out and young Leonard did a very good job on Stephen O'Brien, and then you had on Shawnee there as well, Luca Brosnan. Yep. Luca, you know, so yeah, they will be targeted. But look, Kilmare, like we said, Kilmare are probably our top two, top three club teams in the county, and I just think that it was just a breach too far from. But not taking it away from Rathmore, intermediate champions, they're still riding the wave of it. You know, they're going to take beating, because they're, like we said last week, they're a solid old team. You know, you have John Moynihan there, who always seems to poke out a goal from somewhere. You have all the Ryans. You know, they have a lot of individual players. Paul Murphy defensively, you know, so they're another team just like Temple Knowe, who are deservingly so to be in a quarter final, and you know, there'll be a hard nut to crack as well.
And I think if we had in Alan Dineen and Brian Friel as well,
very good fullback,
you know, they have a lot of talent, and they're certainly. But it was a huge win down there, because a lot of people thought, you know, going to Kilmare, it would be a step too far.
Yeah, and a lot of them guys wore the Kerry jersey as well, like, you know, so yeah.
Sure, if you had your way, you'd have them all back in with Kerry again, and Rathmore have no team next year. They'll be out of the whole lot of them. John Moynihan's goal, absolutely crucial. I think as well, John, looking at the Rathmore side, they played against the wind in the first half. They were able to keep the ball in hand and kind of took down the clock a small bit. They seem to have better game management.
Yeah, but there's a lot of experience in there, Donald. You know, the inter-county sprinkling, but the other players, they're not far off either. You know, they've been there for a bit. They have won intermediate.
Yeah.
You know, that confidence that comes from winning.
Yeah. And I think the big thing there as well, John, that Rathmore had eight different scorers.
Mm-hmm. Eight different scorers.
No, Kilmare had only three.
Yeah.
No,
but
so
we have to say the influence of the Ryans.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Cahill and Shane, you know, Shane Ryan is a revelation out the field, in fairness, and more and more people are saying, should he be outfield for Kerry?
Will Jack have a decision to make?
That's another day's work, says you. But I think Paul Murphy, his form has, he's really back to his best. He had a real battle with Johnny Shea, as you said, you know, but like you had in the likes of the Freels and the Deneens and these guys, John Minan, they have a very good squad. And you know, Dennis Minan is an astute manager. You know, I heard him doing an interview last week, and quietly confident going down there. And then you have to look at it, how many weeks in a row working Mayor out, not making an excuse, it does catch up.
It does, yeah, yeah.
Jeez, lads, you'll have the whole Guinea Gwilla ringing into me now in a second. That's right, more for the Curling Championship, so is it? Field Rangers, St. Cairns. I met Tim Dineen this evening on my way in. Tim's delighted, obviously. He's the thing. He bring on anybody is Tim's message. St. Cairns have been quietly impressive, John, all the way through. I mean, okay, they were playing Field Rangers. Field Rangers, not the Field Rangers. You know, I suppose there was one Listowel player playing with him yesterday. But that said, they went about their business in a very professional way, St. Cairns, and they produced a very good result. And they got their two draws previously. So yeah, they're a quality side.
They're a quality side. A lot of very good players again, Donal. And, you know, I was in there yesterday. As you said, from the minute they came on the field for the warm-up, they were organised, they were professional, big squad of players, you know, they all knew what they were doing. The Horns, we could go through that team, the Horns, Morris Hickey, Luca Brosnan, Brian Leonard inside, young Jack McKelligott, you know, Carl Brosnan, Tig Brick, worked very hard around the middle, but I think their full forward line, Paul Welsh, Adam Barry and Tomás Lynch, they were outstanding.
They're a danger.
Yeah. And you know, Derek Keane, Philip O'Connor again, Adam Dunho, you know, there were hands subs then, particularly Niall Collins. He really showed, he had pace when he came on. It was always going to be a Cairns victory. But I'd have to say, on the other hand, Field Rangers, they could have just thrown in the towel, mm-hmm, but they didn't. You know, I thought that Aaron Connor at fullback and Dunica Maher, they never give up. They stayed battling all through. Killian Trent worked seriously hard at midfield.
He's had a very good County Championship.
Great County Championship.
He really has. And rangy guy with him as well.
Yeah, very honest, kept going. And, you know, I suppose one of the talking points in the stand yesterday was Cormac Dillon. Exhibition of kicking, yeah, to be fair. You know, and Darragh Lynch, a guy that was probably released by Listowel maybe because of his being dogged by injuries, but he had a very impressive 3 points, could have got two goals. But I you'd have to say that, you know, Field Rangers, they went down fighting, they didn't throw in the towel, and you know, limited with subs and that, but no, fair play to them. But St. Cairns, certainly they lay down a marker. They're a lot of people wouldn't like to draw them in the next round, Liam.
Yeah, because
I think they're decent.
Yeah, and their management would be very happy, because like John said, their bench, they have a strong bench as well. Because they had a lot of the Ballymac boys on the bench yesterday coming off, and it just strengthens the whole thing. And plus, we said it 2 weeks ago, you need the likes of Paul Welsh kind of playing well for teams like this, and Paul seems to be coming back to himself with Adam Barry up front as well. And that'll
Liam,
the main
is this a reason why the group stages is good? We're looking at Cormac Dillon week after week after week and we're saying, yeah, you know, there's something there. We're looking at players that we wouldn't mention in one game or two games. Yeah. These lads are producing it week after week in difficult enough circumstances. Yeah. They're not on winning teams, but they're still cropping up.
Exactly. And this is what our county championship is for. You know, it's a pity that we can't be talking here about, say, Thomas O'Donnell tonight for West Kerry, the Cahill Ferreters, and you know, the Falveys and all these guys who should have been out the weekend with West Kerry. And that's why we kind of need this competition, because they can really put it shows up the lesser club player, really. This is where they want to play.
And another guy was Barry Mahoney. He was outstanding. Yeah. You know, they never give up. They stayed going. That's five or six players around the diamond, around the middle. They worked extremely hard, and that's the shop window, the county championship, for these guys to go to the next level.
We'll all hear about them, but at least when we're playing county championship, the whole county can see.
Question for you. You're going to enjoy this, a little trivial question. Group four, okay. Who was, and we'll talk about group three in a second, but I want to jump to group four for a second. What team in group four scored the most? That's a what question team? For you. I'll give you a choice. It was either Dingle or Nagail or Crokes or St. Brendan's. There you go. God, I might have caught you on.
Have a guess. Nagail.
Good guess.
Crokes,
good man. Crokes scored the most. Fantastic. Now, who scored more in the County Championship? Shannon Rangers or Crokes?
Shannon Rangers.
Good God, huh? What's that tell you about that tough group? Shen Rangers, though, scored 111 yesterday. Not good enough to beat Spa, obviously, who were cantering towards it. Liam, Dan O'Donoghue, we mentioned him in dispatches time and time again, but Keane Murphy popped up with 3-5.
That's right, yeah.
My God, that's some telly for a county championship. That's 14 points on his own. Like.
Yeah, that's a finisher. He's a right finisher because, you know, all the hard work was probably done outside, but at the same time, he still had to finish, and he did that. But yeah, everyone from, you could say, from Evan Cronin, you know, Shane Cronin, centre-back, you know, Spa really impressed over the weekend, but the one guy that really impressed me was Dan O'Donoghue. Mm-hmm. Midfield, and he hasn't in the last three games, and it goes, I always thought he might make a wing back or a corner back when you see him playing at number 9 for Spa.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with him with a warrior like that, because you look at Dublin when they have the likes of Brian Howard, who isn't a very big man either. You know, maybe this thing of we need big men around the middle of the field, it might dissipate a small bit, and we can be looking at the likes of Dan O'Donoghue and these guys.
He's a great engine, Dan.
Absolutely.
Great engine,
and he's hot in form as well. I mean, obviously if you're
and he's a warrior like,
in the morning, he certainly is one of the first in the 15,
and I think
somewhere.
On the other side of it, Rob Stack.
Rob Stack was excellent.
He's a young lad.
Excellent. He's under 20, isn't he?
Yeah. Talk to us about Shannon Rangers, because obviously the tournament is over for them as well. They've played three games. They were competitive enough, John, to be fair, in different parts of it. They went out, they gave it a go, they tried. They were probably against, you know, tougher teams, club teams, and I suppose for district teams it takes too long to gel together to play a club team who played a tough club championship. But what are the positives for Shannon Rangers?
I think the positives, look, as an Arkery man, I know what's going on there, and you know, Alan Kennelly and Joe Langan, they went about getting a management team. They got in Pat O'Driscoll. That was a master stroke.
Mm-hmm.
If Driscoll gets a few years with those lads, he'll improve them, because he has got the interest going.
Yeah,
it mightn't be shown in the results, but the performance is certainly the numbers of training.
Yeah.
I think he's set the seed. And I think that, you know, listening to the few lads, Martin Collins and Derek Keane from our own club, you know, they have bought into it. And they're fellas from a smaller club. And I think they all did that. You know, he was unfortunate, I think, that Tabert were in a junior final. And we spoke about this before, that some of the players maybe didn't commit. Very good players. But I think he's started the run.
Yeah.
And I think we can see that they can improve. You know, it wasn't a major improvement, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I think that we'll possibly see more from them.
Yeah.
And I think Pat will stay on, and if he does, you know, it's all about organising at that level and buying
it's about
into
consistency
it.
As well. I mean,
and building an interest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You do well one year, you need to do better the next year. You need to do a little bit better the year after, and then next year, you know, half the players you had mightn't be with you. You might find new ones. Come here to me. Performance of the week. Even though they didn't win, I definitely think it was Rahilly's against Mid Kerry, Liam. They didn't win, obviously.
Didn't win.
We're talking about Mead Kerry as possible champions. The stat that jumps off for Rahilly is 15 wides in a game, and you lose by a point against last year's finalists, against one of the favourites for this year.
And no David Moore.
David Moore. And Tommy Walsh came on towards the back end of the second half. Jack Savage was all over the place.
Yeah.
Really committed to the cause, as you would expect. Is that a positive for Rahilly's, or will they say, God, we really should have got out of this group?
Well, I think they'll take it as a positive, even though they didn't get out of the group, because they have a big game ahead of them in the next couple of weeks against Nigel to stay in the county championship. I think that's going to be a big game for them, and not going to be an easy game for them either, the way Nigel are playing. You know, so, but yeah, this is a game that they'll probably say, geez, we kicked it away. You know, I was looking at it, and it shows to me as well what Mead Kerry, and I've said it here the very first night, they're just missing that something. Mm-hmm. You know, they have so many good players.
No,
so
they had
many
no
good
Sean
players.
O'Brien yesterday, and we've been marking his card as.
And I think a huge loss to Mead Kerry, and going back to even to last year, is young Killian Dinnie. Kieran Dinnie, sorry. He's
enough with the Curra for this.
We have the Curra connection, but he's a loss inside in the forward line.
As a scoring forward. Yeah, super. David Mangan man the match.
David Mangan, Derek Cleary with his goal again. You know, they still have little green shoots as well around the place, but they just need that little bit of oomph. You know, if they need to push on and be contenders against East.
And things not as bad for Rahilly's as it would seem, because obviously they were in the Spa game all the way to the end, apart from the giveaway of the goal, and that turned over them. And as I said yesterday, if it was on position and efforts and the whole lot, they would have won. But they didn't win. They lost, and they go out. The championship, and as I said, they have to wait now. With fingers crossed, I presume that Nigel don't go on in the coming championship, but otherwise, it'll be the end of it. Group four, it was obviously another group that was decided. Let's talk about the dead rubber game first, John. Crokes and St. Brendan's. I suppose a disappointing championship for Crokes. I mean, obviously they're not in the quarterfinals, and as a club, that's where they would like to be at the best of times. St Brendan's looking for maybe a small bit of redemption as well. It was predictable, wasn't it? It was
predictable, and Crokes, you know, they'd be disappointed, and I suppose they might look back to their first game against Dingle, which was in the melting pot, and you know, maybe a few mistakes cost them, and ultimately that cost them their place in the quarter final. But look, it was never in doubt against St Brendan's. It's been a disappointing campaign for Brendan's. It never really got off the ground, and a bit of an improvement from the other two games. I think they only kicked 5 points in each of their two matches, but it was never in doubt. And Crokes will be, you know, they'll be disappointed, but they'll come back. And you know, to Brian Looney, the same guys were Brian Looney and Michael Potson, David Shaw, those guys, they were all impressive. They still have the talent. They're in transition.
A fear of them. They won the Mullinough Cup for about 34,000 times this week, and they beat Legion as well. So all the old guys have it. And staying on the Crokes, I want to wish Neil O'Carroll a speedy recovery. Of course, I went off down Friday evening. St Michael's Fymore were playing Crokes in the Minors C Shield final. We're all excited. We're going to play the mighty Crokes. The game ended after 12 or 15 minutes. Fairly horrific injury in the centre of the field. But listen, the best of luck to Neil O'Carroll, who was only back after injury, but a great little footballer as well. Fantastic midfielder, actually. Had a great impact on the game, but the very best luck to him. Dingle and Nagail, the last game, Liam. Again, predictable enough, but the most predictable thing, Paul Ganey.
Exactly. You know, it was a game that was kind of, as I say, a game of two halves, because it was a strong breeze, you could say, blowing down the field from the dressing room side. And I think Nagail had it in the first half. They didn't really make hay with it. They know that kind of way. It was 4 points all at half time.
No Stephen.
Yeah, he was tugged out, and he was warming up at times with no Stephen, so they're looking at the greater picture, I do think. But Paul Ganey and Tom Sullivan really stepped up to the
plate.
Tom Sullivan looked very impressive again.
He's back scoring again, and very comfortable.
Dingle were the normal Dingle. They look very dangerous up front with the Ganeys. One fellow I definitely must mention is Jack Doyle with Nagail. I thought he had an excellent game again. He stopped two one-on-one goal chances, and he's definitely a guy that I think will make Tomás O'Shea's job very easy. We're picking his under-20s here.
Love Tomás O'Shea's an easy job at all. Come here, listen, we've loads of comments coming in, and we will get to those after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
And you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk here on Monday evening. Donald Barry with Liam and John Hall, dressed up. Of course, we have the county championship at 6:40 or thereabouts. Anyway, we'll get loads of comments coming in, and we'll fly through some of them as we normally do. And listen, thanks very much for taking time out to send in a comment. I know, you know, it's a bit out of your evening, the whole lot, but it's nice to get a WhatsApp or a phone call. We'll start with the good ones, lads. We'll fly through these. Congratulations to the Curragh Miners, of course. On winning the club championship Shield final yesterday versus Skellig Rangers and Valencia. God, oh my, you beat us whole Kerry team.
We did, and it was a fantastic game, Donald, because it went into extra time. So credit to both teams. You know, a great game of football, some fine footballers down in South Kerry, and we have fine footballers ourselves, but I was very impressed with a lot of the players that were down your side of the country, Don.
Port McGinn and Valencia.
They're
on the other side of our country. It's a big country, though.
Right, time to go past the bridge in Clogland that you're kind of heading down there.
We're only together for South Kerry. Come here, ask John Kennedy, is it time for Field Rangers and Shannon Rangers to amalgamate now with North Kerry gone and out? Different teams on three different occasions. It's a usual one.
Yeah, I suppose that debate will come up again, Donald, and you know, I suppose there's merit in it. There's no question of doubt, it'll have to be looked at. But you know, if you just look at the St Brendan's, we sat here last year and we were saying with Austin Stacks in the St Brendan's outfit, they take some beating in the county championship, and we all know what happened. So you know, maybe look at the situation, look at the whole thing. I think the whole county championship needs to be looked at, and I certainly personally think that the club finals should be finished before the county senior championship starts. Give a clear runway then for all the teams to prepare, and maybe a week in between that all the district managers will get time with their team, and maybe that extra week, it could mean a lot. Now the interest seems to be there. feel Rangers made a great impact last year. I think Shannon Rangers have improved this year. So Kerry have a very youthful squad. So look, it's something to be looked at. I wouldn't rule anything in or out, Donald, but to me, you know, the easiest solution always is amalgamate, join up. You'll have more.
But less players.
You have less players, yeah. And it certainly needs to be looked at. It has been a big success at underage level for North Kerry, but the other side of it is, and I'm not being negative, how many players will not play championship football then?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question. It all needs to be looked at. You know, with no pressure on, sit down, assess, and look and see what is the best for the district.
So one big bus or two small good buses.
Two small good buses
to get you there as well. And something that, of course, we omitted there, of course, Owen Doody, obviously, we're going back to the Dingle and the Gael game yesterday. Wasn't it great to see him come on the field? First of all, he entered towards the end of the game. Great rapturous applause as well from the club and Dingle as well. And listen, all our thoughts with the Doody family condolences from the show, of course, back to them all as well. And again, it just shines a light to know we're talking football, but obviously there's far more important things going on in the world at the best times as well. Now let's get to Donald Barry. Fair play to St. Brendan's players who togged out during the weekend. It's been a difficult campaign for them, but they showed up and took their beating while other districts conceded. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, they went for the three. Donald, the county championship needs a new vision, or we will or a lot more games will mean nothing in round three. I'm disappointed as a West Kerry fan. I'm sure the late Paddy O'Shea would have walked to Waterville to play, and that's probably, you know, what it comes down to. We probably have brought it into Carstairbean, to be fair. And then just to counter it, and again, I suppose you have to balance it. A lot of flack for West Kerry this evening and over the weekend. It was a game that meant nothing for either side, whoever would have won. It's a long journey from West Kerry back to Carstairbean, especially with the bad weather and a lot of expense on players. I think the right decision was made. So there you go. That's another side to the fact. Whether you're standing in the minority or the majority, we don't know, but that it's still an opinion. Is it the county championship under 12 or division 5? Yeah, this guy is going down. I suppose he's having a scud missile attack on poor old West Kerry as well, but look, the reality is we've dealt with it and we've moved on. Donal, I missed the show last weekend but listened to the podcast during the week. I was drawn to the discussion about clubs hosting county championship games and what it meant to SD and Lisbowl, which of course I think is great to see. So therefore, as a Waterville fan, I was very disappointed not to have a game this week. Another player getting under the radar. Yeah, so we'll end that side of it. Now that the group stages are out of the way, hopefully the county championship will step up to a level. We need to see the Kerry players marking each other, and we need to see the stars of the game actually playing enough of the shadow boxing. I suppose it will get real from here on, lads, won't it? Qualifying, obviously.
The fun is starting now, Donald. Yeah,
it's real knockout now, isn't it?
It's, yeah, you lose, you're gone home, and that's it. Yeah. So, yeah.
I was in Dingle last Saturday and was well impressed at how Dingle performed once again. But Paul Gainey was simply outstanding.
Yeah, he's really having one of those championships again into a real leader.
You could say that for all the county players.
You could, you laugh him, yeah.
Very few of them are playing below for him. I think they're leading. And, you know, we leave the Cliffords out of it. They just had a cameo appearance yesterday. You know, they've been involved with Fossa and they were given a break, obviously. But the rest of the clubs, you go through Dingle, you go through Retmore,
yeah.
Kinmare, all the county men are playing well. Jason Foley with Shannon Rangers, like, you know, they're all putting in the effort. And in fairness to them, it's been a long season.
Yeah, the big question is, Donald, is who can we put in with him to improve him? That'll be another discussion. Right. Have we new fellas to put in there?
We have so much to discuss. Well, the next comment really solves one problem. Surely Dan O'Donoghue will be back on the Kerry team next year. He's the most informed player outside of the Kerry panel during this championship. He brings a real edge and a real presence.
Yeah.
You've been singing that for the last...
Exactly, 100%, yeah. And there's a couple of more fellas there as well, you know, that are kind of holding their hand up as well. So
interesting that you mentioned Dan O'Donoghue earlier, of course. I suppose at the start we were thinking gone or back or somewhere along there, but the way he's performing, he could be a far more central player.
He could be, and you know, we've been watching even into county football about the last couple of years now. So our midfielders are getting, you know, they're not getting bigger, but they're getting more athletic, and there's other roles from. And I think Brian Howard really showed that with Dublin this year, you know, in the middle of the field. And I think we can look at that because we have a lot of Dan O'Donoghue's that could do jobs like that. Ronan Buckley is one of those fellas there around the middle of the field as well. You know, so maybe we go down, look down, not saying anything about Jack Barry and Diarmuid O'Connor,
but you need more strength in cover. Depth, and we need cover
and we need options.
And you need options. And the day things don't work out, you need an option. And that's what you do even at under 13 level. Donal, really enjoyed watching the opening round of the championship, the second round where the conditions dominated the games. This weekend every game was a dead duck. Some divisional teams struggle to field games. Is there anything that could be done to help reduce dead rubbers? Maybe round two in the group, maybe the winners from round one play the winners from round two. Would love to see suggestions from Liam and John about the format the championship should take going forward. Well, that's interesting that you opened that, PJ, and fair play to you for opening, because I have a couple of ideas today, because I had loads of time up today. Myself and David Cronin were discussing the group. What are we going to do? Yes, how about this one? How about seeding the teams, right? First option for seeding teams. So we have four groups of four, no problem. But based on where they finish this year, all the top four in the first bowl, the second ones in the second bowl, the third one. So the idea is that if you don't move up a bowl, you're going to be against the strong guys every year. Because obviously what's happening at the moment is it's an open draw. And, you know, obviously you can get a lucky group and get out of the group and the whole lot. So that's the first one, grand. Second one, just go back to the old days. Simple knockout. With one round for the losers, and let's get back to business. I think Paddy Clifford had something about that. Yeah, that was his idea. Again, it might go against giving districts a chance and the whole lot. This one, how about this one? Okay, I was really working hard on
that's
this
three
one.
Now done.
this is the one nobody'll agree with, but I'm going to give it anyway. How about introducing the club championship as part of the county championship this way? Okay, so you play your club championship, and you're top two teams that get to the semi-final, you play your out and you get your final, the whole lot. But those top two teams, so the teams that are in the semi-finals, they go directly into the county championship.
Mm-hmm.
The other four teams, because you need to keep playing them obviously, they go into a relegation league and let them play for 3 or 4 weeks, with the bottom team finally being off you go, lads, no, you've had three games and you're officially the worst, right? Then put the divisional boards, watch where we're going with this one, into two groups, okay, and let the top two of them come out at the same time, and all of a sudden you have four clubs who are automatically quarterfinalists and they're the informed clubs, and you have the top four divisional boards. So basically the guys that are serious about it will get out surely, and then you just have a quarterfinal, semi-final, off you go.
How many games isn't that done?
Not as many as you would actually think.
Yeah.
I've said this before, Donald. I was invited onto a committee to look at the county championship, because the previous format, there was clubs complaining and divisional
districts not getting a chance.
Mm-hmm. So a very thorough look at it. We all got, I think there was seven in the committee under Terence Olin, we all got 3 or 4 clubs to ring and get their ideas and came in and pulled it. It certainly opened my eyes, because I'll be honest with you, I'd be with a lot of people out there, why can't they put the game and have 2 weeks of a break or whatever? The time isn't really there.
The calendar's the killer, isn't it?
Yes, that's the killer. And in fairness, this is the format that came up with, so you'd have three matches.
Now, as a format, I think it's a good format, but obviously when you see last year one game not going ahead, well, it did go ahead, but I mean a bit of shadow boxing in the backfield somewhere. This year we've had a team who just didn't feel in the last game, and there were a couple of dead rubbers, and even to be fair to dead rubbers, I'd imagine the teams weren't as strong at the round three as they were in round
and
one.
And we're going to have more of that, Donald, because this generation of footballer, just like your listener said, Paddy Shea would have walked to Waterville. They won't. They won't drive to Waterville, you know. So this generation of footballer, and when you have so much football in the last, like, you're flogging the same players the whole time. So I think it's less games. We'll have to look at it with less games. But
one other thing as well, there's no relegation from the senior championship. You know,
don't be relegated.
How can you bring? But it would make the dead rubber games then more competitive, because you're fighting for your survival. But how do you do it? How do you bring somebody up? I'm not so sure. But it's something that a few people yesterday on the stall after the game were just discussing. If you had to fight to stay in the senior championship because there was another team coming up, or you would play off against them, it would mean that there'd be no walkovers, and that the games with no consequence, then suddenly they meant something.
So you're saying that the relegation of the senior championship should be on the senior championship, not the club championship. Which is a good point. I don't think the clubs are the problem. It's the districts. It's the districts, really. And I won't say a problem, but it's trying to get them organised.
Difficult. And then I suppose it shines the light on how difficult it is to run a district. I mean, with the best will in the world, the chairman and the secretary and the PRO, they do their best and to get things out. And
and then you have the Field Rangers manager trying to look after Listowel. You have the you have the St. Kieran's manager trying to look after Ballymac, and you have the Shannon. You have all these managers,
which is very valid for them because they want to go to Croke Park.
And I think all this comes down to is that our club championship is so strong.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years that is really putting pressure on the senior championship.
Well, look, we'll turn back to the county championship, and of course the, we are at the quarter final stage and we will be bringing you the draw in the next couple of minutes. A couple of things jumped out at me at the quarter finals. John Kennedy, you're a smart man. I won't ask you, William, because
you won't get it right at all.
Eight teams obviously qualified for the quarterfinals last year. How many of those eight teams are back in the quarterfinals this year? Don't count on your fingers now, off the top of your head.
Good question.
It is a good question, isn't it? Yeah,
it is.
How many? I'll give you the number. Four. So half of money made it back. So that tells you it's exceptionally competitive even to get back. Whatever, we're getting back to the finals, but get back to the quarterfinals. No, stay with me. I was really. I did no work at all today. totally apologies to all the them on. Let's go back a year. How many of those four in the quarterfinal were there the previous year? Of those four now, not the eight. How many of those four were actually there the previous year?
Two.
Good man. Fair play to you.
It's Kerry and Dingle.
Totally wrong.
Totally wrong.
But good anyway. That was a guess, obviously. Wrong again. Will you stop guessing? Okay. Now, how many of those two were there the previous year?
One.
One. Good man. Who?
East Kerry.
Totally wrong. Who were they?
East Kerry and Dingle were in the quarterfinal last year, weren't they?
East Kerry were knocked out by Stacks 1 year. You forgot all about it. Yeah? So take East Kerry off the board, okay? Temple knows your answer. Temple Noh have been in the last four quarterfinals. Quarterfinal. They haven't made it to the semi-final. But by the fact that you didn't know, and when I asked about 10 people today, they didn't guess it right either, it really shows that their work is going under the radar and how they can still survive and get to a quarterfinal. And obviously after...
they were in a club final as well in one of those years.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go, Temple Noh. Fair play to you. I hope Pat Spillane puts that in his book. After a break, we will be looking at East Kerry. There you go. They're in this quarterfinal. It's okay, Lee. Mid Kerry, Dingle, Ratmore, Temple Noh, Spa, St. Cairns, who will take anybody at all, and Nagail, who are in their first quarterfinal. And of course, it's nice to see Ratmore back as well. Who was the last time Ratmore in a quarterfinal? God almighty, the questions, huh?
That's a while.
All those Ratmore people will know it was 2017. Who beat them? So Kerry, obviously, because that's how I know it. Who's the leading scorer for Ratmore that day? In 2017, leading scorer for Ratmore.
Shane Murphy.
Shane Ryan. Good guess. Shane Ryan scored 5 points. Unbelievable. He was still there. We think Shane Ryan only came on the scene. Go back to 2016, of course, and they beat Mid Kerry in the quarterfinal. And who scored the last minute goal? Have a guess. Shane Ryan.
So it's coming to Shane Ryan.
So Shane Ryan's been out a lot longer than we thought.
If Jack is listening out there, don't put a lot of pressure on for Shane Ryan.
Shane Ryan, your next Kerry full forward. You heard it here on Terrace Talk. We'll take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll have the coin championship draw.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Well, there you go. It's amazing. We have the Coin Championship Cup here in front of us, and the Bishop Minehan Cup. It was resting in South Kerry for many years anyway, so it hasn't been there for a while. And what's the other fancy cup?
Farmer Under 21.
There you go. You need a big cup and a small cup.
Small cup.
Yeah, so all the winners are on the big cup at the moment. Thanks to Kevin McCarthy, joins us from Garvey's, of course, and Terence Houlihan, Kerry J, chairperson of all the C's.
On the seas.
Yeah. Jesus, yeah.
My sins.
He's the guy that if you turn up in front of, you'll be like, hopefully you haven't the hanging wig on.
Does he wear a wig?
Yeah. Terence makes a difference between 6 weeks and 12 weeks. Very quickly. No, fantastic job you're doing, Terence. And it's a tough job, actually. And of course, the amount of games that are going on around the county, which is absolutely amazing. Even though John Kennedy wants to relegate senior clubs and everything out of the championship. he's all Ireland tickets will be taken off him. We're at the quarterfinal stage, Terence. I suppose it's the exciting part. I mean, the group stages are what it is. Get out of the group, get into the quarterfinals. East Kerry, Mid Kerry, Dingle, Ratmore, Temple Noh, Spa, St. Kieran's, Nagail, all still in it. I know where you were listening at the start. I was saying that of the eight teams that got there last year, only four got there this year. So it's a hard enough process even to get to the quarterfinals, Terence.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. It's a fierce competitive competition. I think if you look at the standard of it, it's at the highest level in the country of championships. So, every year there's teams who are you'd say the regulars there, these Kerrys, the mid-Kerrys seem to be knocking there every year now, and Dingle. And obviously this year then we have a few new teams in it, and it's great to see. As I was saying outside there, it's strange when you have three of maybe our biggest clubs in the county, Crokes and Stacks and Ratley, is not in the draw in the quarterfinal. It's strange for Kerry anyway.
Yeah. But then it's exciting and it's new and it's open, and other people are listening in tonight at the quarterfinals and saying, God, if we could only draw them now, we might get to a semi-final, the whole lot. Come here, as long as I know, Gary's have been sponsoring this, Kevin. I won't say you've been turning up every year for the last, I don't know how many decades now at this stage. But it's a great competition to be involved with, and from here on in, it's going to gather a lot more excitement.
Oh yeah, definitely. Look, we're delighted to be involved in it. I think it's our 11th year with the county championships, both hurling and football, and they always turn out to be fabulous occasions, and as you say, it ratchets up now that you get into the knockout stages, so we're really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, as a St. Brendan's man, you can't draw St. Brendan's out. And John Kennedy, you're a Shannon Rangers man who is loyal to the odd time to Field Rangers, so you can't draw anybody out of it. So you're certainly the most independent man here tonight. Obviously, Terence, you're a mid-Kerry, aren't you?
Of course, back to mid-Kerry.
You'd love to be pulling the blue out, I'd imagine, but mid-Kerry at the moment. And the St. Cairns man over here, he's all excited. When was the last time you were in the draw?
I can't remember.
I'd be afraid to ask. It's been a while, although it probably hasn't been that long, because I remember you played East Kerry that year, three or four years ago.
We were in the quarter final, 2020. And we were in the semi-final a couple of years before.
I remember Leonard running all over the field after David Kerr that day.
And very unlucky. That was a game they could have won.
Doing a very good job of him. So it probably wasn't that long ago. But listen, we won't keep you all. Terence, will you talk us through the science bit and we'll get the draw done?
Yeah, it's a fairly straightforward draw, Donald. We have the group winners in one of the cups here in the Bishop Mayan Cup, and which are East Kerry, Rathmore, Mid Kerry, and Dingle. And then in the other cup, we have the four group runners up, which are Timpanogh, St Kieran, Spa, and Nigale. And I suppose it's a simple draw, but the only one thing is that you can't meet a team that you've came out of your group. So if we come across that, we'll move it along and we'll
won't panic anyway.
We won't.
We have a book and we have everything to work with. Yeah, super. So I might invite the Garvey's men to draw the big ball, and I might ask John Kent to draw the small one. So
Rathmore.
First team out is Rathmore. And of course, Rathmore back in the quarterfinal for the first time since 2017. Of course, as I said, last out of South Kerry that year.
And the first team out here is Spa.
And they're playing Spa. Well, holy God, huh? If that wasn't predicted, absolutely neighbours taking on Chidder, and of course Spa in their first ever quarterfinal, senior status secured as well. Lost out to Dingle, of course, in the club championship and the semi-final. Second team out, second quarterfinal.
Mid-Kerry.
Mid-Kerry drawn out, and of course Mid-Kerry, four titles won their last, of course, in 2008, but they've lost four finals since, and they were in last year's final.
Mid-Kerry will play Nigale.
Mid-Kerry will play Nigale. All good so far, Terence?
Yeah.
We haven't broken any rule or anything?
No rules broken yet.
Yeah, super. Nigale, absolutely. That's their first quarterfinal, and as I said, it's an exciting time for the Tralee side to be involved in, particularly when they're the only Tralee side in.
East Kerry
are in the third quarterfinal. They're, of course, the champions. They're looking for their fourth in 5 years, which is absolutely fantastic.
Versus St Cairns.
Well, there you go, huh? Tim Dineen, if you're listening outside there this evening, you said we'd give you anybody at all. You have St Cairns. Might as well shoot for the top.
Dingle.
And the last people out of the draw, John Kennedy is going to consign, of course, we all know.
Timpanogh.
My favourite team, who've been in every quarterfinal since the last 4 years, looking to go one step further. Rathmore and Spa, Mid-Kerry and Nigale, East Kerry and St Cairns, Dingle and Timpanogh. It'll be 25,000 at every one of those games, Terence, will there?
Hopefully, Don, yes. That's what we're looking for. Tom Keane is always looking for a big gate, yeah.
You need a big gate. Rathmore and Spa, Terence, that's an exciting for two clubs, both East Kerry, both former East Kerry teams, I suppose, involved in that run at times as well. And as a club man wearing club hat, it's exciting for them.
Absolutely, and it's a great opportunity for one of them to get to the semi-final, and when you're in a semi-final, you never know. So love for both clubs is something to look forward to for the next 2 weeks, a local East Kerry derby as well, which adds a bit to it, and I'd say a game that both of them will fancy their chances.
And of course, being a mid-Kerry man, you'll definitely go to mid-Kerry and Nigale, will you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Uh-huh. And I'd say there, Nigel will fancy that. I was at the McCurry game at the weekend. They played Rathley, so a very good game, titanic battle. And I'd say Nigel will be looking forward to that challenge again.
East Kerry and St. Cairns, huh?
Yeah, I suppose St. Cairns have done well. They've got through the group fairly well. Two very competitive games that they drew. So, and obviously East Kerry haven't had some of their big guns yet. And we'll wait and see how they perform in the quarterfinal now with everyone back on board, I presume.
Are they your second favourite team, Kevin, seeing that you have an old big shop out there in Castle Island, are they?
We can't have favourites now on this, but we wish them all well.
No favourites. St. Cairns will be delighted, Liam, will they?
They will, because you know it's a game they're going to go in as complete underdogs.
Yeah.
And just like you referenced before the draw, the last time they met, Kieran's rattled them.
So
I think they'll take a bit of hope from that, and plus I suppose the Cliffords are back on board now as well, so it's like a new East Kerry team we'll be watching. But yeah, that'll be a game that will really whet the appetite of everyone.
And of course there's another Garvey's back in Dingle, isn't there?
There is, yeah. Let's say no favourites. But that should be a good match, I think, with Temple Now, two club teams again, you know.
Yeah.
And some good inter-county players will be marking each other there that day, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. John Kennedy is amazing. We're talking about all the districts and how strong they were, and everybody's convinced that when you have 25 clubs you can win it. But of the 8, 5 and more clubs.
Yeah, 5 more clubs, you said, and you know, there's some intriguing battles in there, like, and you know, there's it's a great draw, I think. You know, the one that sticks out is East Kerry and St. Cairns. You know, we said how impressive Cairns were, the squad of players they have. We know what East Kerry bring. And, you know, as I said, I was at that game in Listowel yesterday. Cairns very organised, very professional. And this is the acid test for them. And like Terence said there, look, East Kerry have been playing without some of their top players. They'll all be on board the next day. But it's, as we said earlier on, the shadow boxing is over now. And I think we're in for 4 great games.
Mm-hmm. And Liam, of course, technically speaking, if you're going on the county board, East Kerry have 4 of the 8 teams inside it, have they?
That's right, yeah.
They kind of part of ownership of St. Cairns, have they?
Yeah, but I'm just looking at game one there as well, in terms of like the East Kerry derby there between Ratmore and Spa.
I think that'll be a great game.
Both of them fellas are sitting down home tonight and say, we have a chance to get the county final here, yeah. These two teams. So there's going to be very little between the two of them.
Yeah. Terence, obviously you go back now and you fix the dates and the times and the whole lot, but they're not this weekend.
No, they're not this weekend. We give them a weekend off, I suppose. Lord, the split season has been brilliant for football around the county, but these guys need a break at some stage. Some of them, Dingle, have gone 8 weeks in a row, which is unbelievable, and they must be complimented in their success and what they've achieved so far this year. So off this weekend and then back the following weekend, hopefully with a doubleheader on the Saturday and a doubleheader on the Sunday.
So it's going to give Kevin loads of time, because you've started another debate, of course, team of the century, okay, even though we're only a couple of years into it. My producer over here, you had to tell him that it was only 23 years gone of the 100. He was going to wait till the end of this century to name it, sure. We'd be all gone by then. But it's a great idea, and I might just take the sheet there, because obviously it's starting a debate, and basically what you're asking for is, you're asking for people to pick the team of the century. Basically, you have 15 players, you have 3 players nominated for each selection. We're going to talk about it after a break with John and Liam, and we'll tease it out as well. But sure, there's nothing better than talking football, is there?
Yeah, no, look, and it just, I suppose, yeah, whets the appetite, and there's some fabulous players both present and in the past over the last 20 odd years that have played fantastic club football and maybe have not got the recognition in the, you know, on the county or inter-county scene, and this is a great opportunity to bring them there and debate them against the inter-county players and see who came out the best in the club championship.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some unbelievable choices. let's look at full forward, for example. You have Kieran Donnelly, Austin Stacks, obviously the county champions, with Derek Kineda on Gaeltacht from obviously the start of the 0-0s. They got to, going to kill me now, they got to 3 finals, they won 2, and they got to maybe 3 finals in 4 years. They were very dominant at the start. And Darragh Roach, East Kerry, who's a current, and he's racking up the medals as well with East Kerry. And somebody has to pick one of those. suppose. I mean, it's a great debate to have, isn't it?
It is, because look, in most of the positions there's no outright winner, do you know, and there's a case to be made for all of them. And I think that's what creates the debate, and that's what gets everybody in and to vote. And, you know, we have the entry forms available in all stores, so just come in, fill them out, have your say in it. If you don't have your say, you can't argue with the interest. So have your say, come in and do it, and all will be revealed after the county final.
Yeah, I can safely say no matter what 15 are picked, there's going to be wrong anyway. You're not going to win, particularly when Sunfield has to decide Paddy Clifford or Declan Sullivan, or maybe Mikey Gainey. Yeah. It's going to be difficult. John, it's a debate that we love to have. I mean, obviously, even at club level, we go back and we always talk about who was the best midfielder for the club and the whole lot. This is an extension of this. It's meant to be good fun, obviously. People will take it fairly seriously too, I'd imagine.
There's no doubt. Look, and we're living in a county that, you know, they know their game inside out. They all have favourites and they're getting an opportunity now, which is great. Look, to get on three players in each position is an achievement in itself with the pool of talent we have. But look at the dilemma people will have picking in every position. Yeah. You know, spoiled for choice. Some fantastic players, like Kevin said. Some of them have worn the jersey, but more than haven't. But they have medals, so it's brilliant. But I think a competition like this, it gets the debate going, and everybody is a select on their own mind, and they all have their own ideas. And, you know,
we'll all get jobs with Jack O'Connor if this works out.
It would be interesting.
And of course, we have to preface the idea that obviously they weren't picked from every person that played in the county championship. You had to get to a county final, whether you won it or you got to the final, to actually get across the line to be nominated. And basically, they were picked from a panel of judges, five of them, including myself. Unfortunately, we will declare that. And it was very interesting as well to be involved with Geraldine O'Shea, Mary Jo, Corn, Sean Coonan, and Owen Bomber Liston. And to guess when you're in a group, because some people look at the championship as fans and look at it very differently. Some look as managers. Some look as those times when it was really good and you remember the Crokes winning everything and it was absolutely fantastic. And there's a nice mix there as well. And there is a couple of Lone Rangers fellas on it as well.
It's two, I think. Yeah, Frank and John.
See, two, I think. Obviously, he's after looking at it. That's the most GA answer I ever listened to. Two, I think. Knowing is only two. And there's a few Dingle fellas there as well. There and West Kerry, of course, and Gaelic, and the whole lot. It's hugely exciting. Great to see it. But obviously, that's just going to keep us entertained. And of course, we'll be naming them on the day of the county final. And who will be in that county final, we don't know yet. But it is, if you're listening to us, Rathmore versus Spa, Mid Kerry versus Nagail, East Kerry the champions taking on St. Cairns, and Dingle will be taking on Temple Noah. Now, after the break, we will be getting a bit of more reaction to that. We're going to keep the two boys. John O'Dowd will join us as well. Terence, thanks very much. Any chance you leave the cup, is there?
You can have it for another few weeks, but we want it back soon.
Surely East Kerry has so often. And of course, we can get all those voting forms in all the Garvey shops.
You can, yeah.
Have you voted already?
Oh no, total neutral.
You have to go home and have a proper
think through, yeah.
Yeah, good God Almighty. Yeah, absolutely, and that's what we'll all be doing. Up after break, as I said, we will be talking a bit more about the team of the century. We'll get a bit of match reaction. And of course, to change it from 7:30 onwards, we will be talking basketball. And of course, last week we had the Garveys, truly warriors, in with us. But this week we're heading back over to Killarney to chat with St. Paul's. And of course, no better man to talk basketball is Brian Clark, and he's after taking over the reins there as well. And we'll be joined by Brandon Bell and Tiernan Moss, and Enda Walsh will join us at the end of the hour as well, just to check a little bit more about basketball. For now, we take a break. And of course, we're talking about the county championship draw, which is great. Yep, that's super. And we're joined by John O'Dowd. If everything's falling apart there, Liam, will you stop pulling wires and all that kind of crap?
I didn't touch anything.
Good stuff. John, good evening. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, you've got a little bit of word of the county championship quarterfinal draw. There's a lot of counties in that, John. Rathmore and Spa, Mid Kerry and Nagail, East Kerry and St. Cairns, Dingle and Temple. No. John Dowd, what's your pick of those?
Good evening, Donal. Good evening, lads. I was saying last night, before the draw was even made, that one of the three big guns in the competition, East Kerry, Dingle and Mid Kerry, one of them was going to get the real banana skin in the quarterfinal. And the banana skin is most definitely St. Kieran's. And it's East Kerry who've got that banana skin now. And most certainly, especially after what happened in 2020, which I heard you mentioning before the news, St. Kieran's were not far off causing a huge upset that day, and having seen them twice in the last 3 weeks, they're going to be a severe test of East Kerry's current credentials.
Mm-hmm. In many ways, though, did the other two dodge that bullet? Because East Kerry, you would imagine, would have the clientele and the players available to handle that, even though they will be severely questioned.
Yeah, a very interesting thing about East Kerry, Donal, and I was only going through it there a while ago. Of the team that started last year's county championship final victory over Mid Kerry, only seven of those players have started in any of their games so far this season. Gerry O'Sullivan has used his panel absolutely, you'd have to say brilliantly, over the last 3 weeks, increasing the depth of his squad. If I give you, there have been 15 new starters for East Kerry in their three matches. I'll quickly run through them. Brian Kelly, Darrell O'Callaghan, Owen Fitzgerald, Donal O'Sullivan Down, Patrick Darcy, Owen O'Sullivan, Luke Crowley, Emmett O'Shea, Keane Lynch, Matt Rennie, Niall Dunhu, Chris O'Leary, Rob Lean, Killian O'Sullivan and Kieran Murphy. All of them have got experience over the last 3 weeks of starting county championship games. When you consider that the Clifford brothers have only played 5 minutes, the likes of Rory Murphy, Chris O'Donoghue and others haven't played any minutes at all yet. It's magnificent what Gerry O'Sullivan has been able to do, and I suppose you're only able to do it if you have that depth in your squad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and of course it's not easy as a manager, you know, having to do that as well, because obviously they're all quite talented players, and as you said, if you have 15 extra on top of the 7 that you had last year, it's about rotating them in a fashion that they're all still at the table, they're all still excited, they all know there's a part to play, and they all kind of know as well that Paddy and David are going to be the first two on the next 15 as well. So, I mean, there's probably a little bit of pressure on him, but by rotating so well, he's given them all a taste for it. And, of course, he's building into the future as well, obviously.
Yeah, and you look at players even in Paddy and David's positions over the last couple of weeks, like Emmett O'Shea has done really well inside the full forward line. Patrick Darcy has done really well at centre-forward. Matt Rennie out around the middle of the field, half-forward line as well. And like you say, some of these players know that while they might be starting the first three games, they might not be starting for the rest of the competition. But what Gerry O'Sullivan and his selectors do know now is that when called upon, he has extra depth, which he might not have expected to have or might not have believed that he had. And that can only be a bonus for East Kerry, because they are going for a fourth title in 5 seasons. And you can only do that as well if you're freshening up the squad every year as you go along. Obviously, they've lost Shane Ryan and Paul Murphy to Rathmore. There are a few other players injured at the moment, and whether they'll be involved in the competition, like James O'Donoghue and Jonathan Lyon, we don't even know about that yet. So Gerry O'Sullivan will certainly be very pleased.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's interesting that you mentioned that, because when Spall left the group with East Kerry, they took 9 players with them that were involved in that first East Kerry win. Rathmore have gone since with them as well, and both of those come face to face against each other. One, the All Ireland Intermediate Champions, and Spall, who kind of unfairly due to COVID didn't get a chance to kind of travel that journey as well, but both of these will fancy a spot in the semi-final.
Yeah, without a doubt, Rathmore and Spall are the two happiest teams tonight in the whole draw, because Rathmore knew, I suppose, last night, having got that brilliant victory down in Kenmare, that they would top the group, and they knew then straight away that they were going to avoid the three big guns in Mid-Kerry, East Kerry and Dingle. But Spa didn't. They knew they were going to avoid Mid-Kerry from being in the same group, but they could easily have been drawn against East Kerry or Dingle. And both of these sides will be delighted to be playing in each other. They will feel it's a total 50-50 match, and they will have great aspirations of getting to minimum now a semi-final.
Yeah, which will be absolutely huge for both clubs, of course, and Rathmore, of course, if you think about it, they're, even though in our heads they're still a senior team of youngs and years ago, they're the newly promoted intermediate team. Another newly promoted intermediate team, the Gael, last year, this is their second full year at senior. Obviously, they have to deal with that relegation playoff, but they found a bit of form in the county championship, and they certainly won't fear Mid-Kerry.
Yeah, Nigel, you'd have to say, Donald, they've absolutely brilliantly resurrected their season. The senior club championship didn't go well for them. They could well be still having to play a relegation playoff later in the season against Cairns O'Reilly's, the match that nobody wants to be involved in. Obviously, they'd have to go to the county final or try and get to the county final to avoid that. But since Stefano Cunbar has come back into the team after the injury that ruined his inter-county season, he seems to have been a catalyst for their return to form. Now, he didn't play against Dingle on Saturday back in Dingle, and I think that was a smart move by the Nigel management, because he'd got two full games under his belt after a long period out of the game. And it was good that they were able to rest him last Saturday and have him on full tilt for 2 weeks' time. Damien Burke and Jack Doyle in particular, two defenders, have been absolutely exceptional, and they were the same against Dingle the weekend, marking two of the most informed players in the county at the moment in Conor Ganey and Dylan Ganey. I suppose the small problem for Nigel is up front. You do feel that they don't have the attacking firepower. They definitely need Dan Goggin to get fully fit from his recent injury as well. And in fairness to them, the great credit is due to Nigel. It was a difficult period for the club over the weekend following the untimely passing of the father of Owen Doody, the former captain. And I think what sums up the county championship the best was Owen Doody coming onto the field about 10 minutes into the second half in Dingle on Saturday, the same afternoon that in the morning was his father's funeral. And the reaction from the crowd, the rapturous applause, the pat on the back from the Dingle man Brian Devan, who was marking him, it just showed you that community and life and death and everything, while we love sport, they are the real most important things.
Absolutely, fine words. Mid Kerry, I mean, last year's finalists, as I said, they've been in four finals, they've lost them all since 08. They kind of, they're a hard team to gauge. I mean, they've done well, they have lots of players, but they're not really putting teams away, and is there still kind of a little question mark over them?
Yeah, most certainly. I seen them 2 weeks ago against Shannon Rangers, and they didn't really impress that day. And by all accounts, they haven't clicked into full gear either against Spa or against Cairns O'Reilly's over the weekend. The thing is, though, they have a really good strong panel. They have the experience of being in a couple of finals over the last, I think, two finals in the last four seasons, something like that.
Yeah.
Kieran Dennehy remains on the injured list at the moment. One of the unluckiest players in the county this season, a fantastic young talent, missed out on the All-Ireland Under-20 campaign for Kerry, might well have been the difference in that All-Ireland semi-final against Sligo up in Peel Stadium earlier in the year. He's injured again. They'll definitely need him back. At the same time, they do have three of the most promising youngsters at the moment in Killian Burke, Sean O'Brien and Keith Evans. Young Sean Coffey in goals is getting better and better. Then you have the leadership from the likes of Mike Breen, Pat Kilkenny, A&O, O'Connor and a few others. And a young lad who's done really well in the last couple of weeks is from Lawn Rangers, Darragh Cleary. He's really impressed in attack. Mm-hmm. The question is about them. They're capable of beating Nigel. They beat them in the group stages last year. They're capable of getting to a semi-final. They may be capable of getting to a final again. But what is the missing link that would get them over the line against an East Kerry? Have they found that? I'm very unsure still.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, they'll certainly be searching for it, and they have that game with Nigel, of course, which will test their credentials big time. If a club team were to win the championship, everybody out there says it's going to be Dingle, it can be Dingle, it has to be Dingle. Funnily enough, Dingle haven't won it since 1948. I mean, it's amazing, and they won six by that stage. Can Dingle win the county championship?
You'd have to say that they can. They were the team, I suppose, Donald, that frightened the life out of East Kerry the most.
Yes.
Last season, on that wet day in the semi-final, where it took that wonder point from Paul Murphy from about 60 metres to get the champions over the line. And on current form, great credit is due to Dingle and to Kenmare Shamrocks, who've unfortunately bowed out. They've played 8 weekends in a row. That is pretty phenomenal by any standards. And the question is, should any team have to be playing 8 weekends in a row? And that's a topic that needs to be discussed most definitely at this moment in time. But Dingle have navigated their way through superbly. They won the senior championship. They've got through these last 3 weeks. I was particularly impressed by them against what they did against St. Brendan's 2 weeks ago. John Kennedy was there with me that day as well. They took a leaf out of the East Kerry playbook. They could have played Mark O'Connor, they could have played Paul Ganey that day, but they looked at the bigger picture, they looked at the overload one of these players has had in Australia, one has had with his involvement with Kerry. They took the sensible decision, they trusted their squad, they got through the game, they won the game. Barry Dan is still on the injured list, whether he's back for 2 weeks' time remains to be seen. Mark O'Connor undoubtedly probably will be. And Paul Ganey in particular seems to be a man on a mission at the moment. He's the captain of the team. I watched him on Saturday. He had missed the previous week, came back last week, was the best player on the field. They have fierce momentum. They have everyone working as a unit. They have good strength and depth. They have a very solid defence. They have some impressive attackers. They're solid around the middle of the field. They will take beating for sure.
God almighty, I hope there's nobody listening blowing Timpel no to you in it, because they might as well stay at home.
I wouldn't write off Timpel no on the slightest, Donald, because like you said, like, and I didn't even realise that myself, you said they were the only team who've been in the last eight of the competition for 4 years in a row. What Timpel no have, they have a unity, they have a spirit, they have a collective. It probably comes from the small size of the parish. They don't have the biggest pick of players, but what they do have is some exceptional leaders in the Spillanes, Tig Morley, etc. But stalwarts who've been playing for the club for a long time. Your Sean Sheehan's and your Stephen O'Sullivan's. You've all the Crowleys. You've Patrick Clifford, a very, very promising player who always seems to play well. Young Mark Casey inside and cornerback. They've won two of their games this year by a point, and they really put it up to East Kerry for most of the game yesterday. Dingle will get nothing soft off Temple No, but at the same time, you still would have to fancy the Westerners to beat them.
Absolutely, there you go. Listen, John, thanks very much for giving us all that this evening. As I said, I can't wait.
Before I go, Donald, just a small interesting thing. I presume you'll tease it out with the lads. Just whenever the county board are deciding their fixtures for 2 weeks' time, obviously there could be games on Saturday the 14th and there could be games on Sunday the 15th. The probability is that Ireland and New Zealand will be 8 p.m. in the Rugby World Cup quarter final on the Saturday night. And I think from a county board point of view, we want more people going to the games. It's fair to say that there hasn't been big crowds at the first three rounds of the group stages, which was probably only natural after 6 weeks of club action. But you want your crowds coming to the games. The matches will already be live on Clubber, but at the same time, you want to get your customers in the seats in Austin Stack Park, in Fitzgerald Stadium. So avoiding clashing with Ireland, New Zealand at 8 p.m. on a Saturday night has to make common sense for the powers that be.
It seems to be a rabbit hole that we've gone down before, John, isn't it? Soccer World Cups and the whole lot. But absolutely, I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to vote by where they're going to go. And I suppose you can't really compete. I mean, and the whole country is behind Ireland wanting to win the World Cup at the same stage. And then again, a lot of players, obviously, would probably want to watch it as well. It's a very interesting question and one that we will tease out with the boys after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Hello, welcome back to Terrace Talk. Of course, we're talking about the Senior County Championship. Of course, the quarterfinal draws were made there earlier. A couple more comments coming in. Best of luck to Pat Spillane Senior with the launch of his book in his brother's Tom's Pub in Temple No next Saturday evening. And that's Dermot and Margaret Ann down there and two sisters, who I'm nearly sure will be up there getting the book signed and autographed. As far as no, Joe Brawley's coming down to launch that as well, which is fantastic. Hi Donald, Shane Ryan is the best forward in Kerry this year. How did Jack not play him in the forwards for the last 15 minutes in the All-Ireland final? If he would want, we would have Sam now. Well, I suppose a crystal ball is a great thing to be looking into later in the year. And talking about crystal balls, Bridie from Killarney is looking into her crystal ball there for me. Take a good look at the cups on view there, Donal, as South Kerry won't be winning them for a decade. So how long? Well, at least, Bridie, we can wait a decade for it. I suppose it'll be nice when it comes around again. And hi, Donal. Interesting quarterfinal draws. A step closer to an East Kerry Dingle final, says Charles. And how are you getting on there this evening, Charles? Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, absolutely. That seems to be what most people are kind of looking for, but you know what, there's a lot of games there before we get there. Rathmore and Spa, as a club man, you must be hugely excited.
Oh, you'll be very exciting.
If you were a Rathmore man, if you were a Spa man, if you were a player in the management, the whole lot, you're looking not at winning the final, but you're looking at a chance of progressing to another round.
This is a chance to get to a county semi-final, you know. So it's, if I was a Rathmore or a Spa man, you'd really be excited about this game. And like we said earlier, I think this is a game that both teams will fancy their chances, you know. There's a lot of good players on both sides. They won't fear each other, so it's going to be all in the day who comes with their game faces. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a humdinger of a game. It's the one that's really, but I know they're about East Kerry and St Kieran standing out, but this game for me, it really hit me. Stand there as well.
John, will the fact that they know each other so well add or subtract from it? Normally when you know your neighbour so well, you kind of maybe go into a bit of a defensive mode and you know who you're marking and all that, and you can kind of overthink as many plans you have. Or will this be just a shootout?
I think it could be a shootout, Donald. You know, it's not the Dunhu Cup. It's not intermediate. It's senior county championship. And, you know, I was in Spa Saturday evening. You know, they have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Dara Mynan leading by example. His form is good at the moment.
And his brother, Timmy, in the other side.
Timmy's having a good season.
Timmy's having a good season.
Keane Murphy, he got about 3-5. Outstanding.
And Fitzgerald, the fullback.
Mentioned Dan Dunhu already. These guys are, you know, an injury to Mike Stam Dunhu. He went off after getting a pint early on. You know, hopefully for him, it's a big day for the club now. It'll be great to see him back playing. Yeah. And Brett Moore, look, we've spoken about them.
Sure, Liam has to him on the Kerry team for next year.
They're actually on the crest of a wave. They're going really well. And down to Kinmare to win in a winner-take-all game. Yeah. It's one thing to go down and win.
There's great momentum coming off that win.
Exactly. Like we said, players, we know about the Ryans, but like the Brianfield, Brendan O'Keefe's and O'Keefe's, these guys, like, you know, they are real Ratmore, you know, clubmen. And that's going to be a very interesting quarterfinal.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of Ratmore men and women, of course.
And
we'll have the sleeves rolled up looking for that game. Meet Kerry and the Gaels, very interesting. Last year, one of the highlights at the end of our show was the Gael winning their first county championship game. They had to go, they'd lost the first two and they went down to West Kerry and they beat West Kerry Blow in West Kerry, and it was nice. And was saying they progressed really well from there to be in a quarter final. And a Meath Kerry team, to be fair, maybe haven't found their firepower yet.
Yeah, and I think, look, realistically, if you're the Na Gael management team, you're probably saying it'd be great if we could avoid East Kerry and Dingle. Mm-hmm. You know, and we'd take have a go at that or two. And I think they won't fear Meath Kerry. And
they'll have seen what their neighbours Rahal's done yesterday.
Exactly.
You know,
so there'll be no fear there. The only slight hook up I have with Na Gael is where they're going to get their scores from. I think that is a big problem that they have. They rely a lot on Diarmaid O'Connor going forward and what it meant for to be relying on. But I do think when it comes into the latter stages of these competitions, you just need more than one or two players. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the one thing that will hamper them a small bit. Whereas Meath Kerry on the other side, even though they haven't lit any fires or anything yet. They haven't been lighting fires or making us all very excited. But they're solid. No, they're solid, but this is a game where Meath Kerry will have to come in very wary.
Will this be advantage Meath Kerry in the sense that they've been on this journey before, John? They've been in a quarter final, they know how to win semi final, they can get to finals, which is huge. They've been to two finals in the last 3 years. Unfortunately, Meath East Kerry, I suppose, most teams will come a cropper there. Is that experience now?
The experience will count, but they're expected to win.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Na Gael,
is that more pressured in?
I think so. If we were told there two or three months ago that Na Gael would be in the draw tonight, we'd say, look, with the way they went through the club championship,
they're in bonus territory.
Yeah. Their big men will have to play well. This could be the game of two defences.
Yeah.
Because, you know, both defences are strong.
Yeah, they have a good defence structure.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's a real club effect about them. There's a feel good factor, and they're on the crest of a wave at the moment. They're in bonus territory. Yeah, it could be one. Meath Kerry haven't performed to their ability, and they'll have to do it to beat them.
And Stephen will probably be back for this, so yeah, that'll boost Na Gael as well.
Yeah.
Talk about coming back, the two Cliffords, of course, coming back for East Kerry. John O'Dowd, very interestingly there, mentioning the amount of extra players that East Kerry have had.
Yeah.
Of course, we have kind of touched on, we were talking about the Patrick Darcy's of the world and all these Luke Crowley's cropping up along the place. St. Cairns is probably the most difficult task that they will get out of those four, looking at them on paper. And St. Cairns, they got their two draws, they got their win, they're in form. Ballymac are flying as the club in Division 1. Obviously, they have plenty of Desmonds, and they have Cordell and Scart and Knock and the whole Brusna Adam thrown in as well. And they've always been a team.
They're a ton in the side.
They probably haven't done as good as they should have done for what they have and the quality of players they had. And you can throw in Philip O'Connor and Kerry Jr. and Sean Ogan and Golan, the whole lot. Will they have the sleeves really rolled up for this one crack at East Kerry?
Oh yeah, this is, you know, mouth watering really. Yeah. And I think someone said it.
Would this be 88?
It could be, yeah. And I heard someone say during the week that the best time to meet East Kerry would be in a quarter final.
Yeah.
No, and it probably is, you know. So I think they'll have, like you said, they'll have the jerseys folded.
Is it a good time to play the Clifford,
who haven't played so long? Yeah, they're only going to be coming back into a new system. the Noah Sawyer and Kearns, are gradually getting better. And I think it's great credit to their management team, because like John said at the start of the show, they were very professional looking the last day, even in the warm up and stuff like that. And that's very important for district teams. You know, you try to build a club culture, and I think they're after doing that. And of course, winning and not getting beaten games kind of gathers that momentum anyway as well. And I said it 2 weeks ago, they need likes of Paul Welsh and these fellas playing well. And he seems to be coming into form now, a small bit.
Into,
he did, yeah. Adam Barry, you know, you have Luca Rosnan, you have Brian Leonard in defensively, who soldered up, and then you have the two Horns as well. So they've a lot of guys there that have worn the Kerry jersey at some level down along the line. Philip O'Connor, Sean Ogue, and then you have the Ballymac contingent who are on a high at the moment. So yeah, Kieran's, things are on the up for Kieran's, and I think John that would put it a good way. This is a banana skin for East Kerry.
So Kieran's by how much?
I think we'll sneak it by a point. Father won't like that, no.
one sneaky point, yeah, exactly. He'd be out of a job, out of retirement. The last game, club game, as I said earlier, everybody says if a club team are to do it, it should be Dingle. They push East Kerry all the way there. They're playing a Temple Noah team who, as I said, and none of you kind of knew it at the start, have the most form, I suppose, over the last number of years getting here. They haven't pushed back the next level. Dingle's a hard ask for them, though, isn't it?
It's a tough one. Dingle would be, you know, they're one of the favourites to win the championship. Mm-hmm. You know, their form is, they're doing what they have to do. They're club champions. You know, Paul Ganey is on fire. All the Ganeys, Tom O'Sullivan. You know, they're really, Mark O'Connor is in the mix as well. So look, they're a quality club side, but they're coming up against a really consistent Temple Noah. And, you know,
they're inter-county footballers.
Inter-county footballers, yeah. Playing with confidence, you know, and, you know, even they were beaten the weekend, they still performed. It's a difficult one for them. Dingle will be favourites to get through, but you know, they'll know they've been in a game with Temple Noah. Adrian Spillane, how his injuries could be crucial to the end result.
Absolutely. Well, look, guys, thanks very much. We have to leave it there. I suppose we better give you next week off, were we? Saying that you're wrecked after an hour and a half of work this evening. That's Liam and John Kennedy. I suppose they're resident panellists now at this stage. And of course, all evening we've been talking about the Garvey's Super Value Senior County Championship. You know the draw now at this stage for the quarterfinals. And you can take next week off and get out and support the team, like John O'Dowd said. It'll be very interesting, of course, to see how that plays out with Ireland and New Zealand and the County Championship draw going ahead as well. I'm sure they'll sit down and take that into the calendar. Now, one thing that's in the calendar at the moment is basketball. Round one, of course, of the Super League and the National League has just got underway. And after a break, we'll be checking in with our friends over there in St. Paul's when I catch up with Brian Clark.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now it's back to basketball, and Brian Clark, of course, takes charge of St. Paul's fortunes for the new season. Of course, he's actually taken charge already, and he's been busy on the off-season as well with a number of signings and kind of getting, I suppose, all the parts of the jigsaw puzzle back together. And of course, Brian, of course, a big basketball guy. Of course, you'll all remember, I suppose, in the 90s and the 2000s, when, I suppose, St. Paul's were kind of, it was the place to go on a Saturday night, and he's all that. And I suppose in many ways, I suppose you're trying to recreate that. Brian, first of all, before we get into all that, making that transition from a player to a coach, is that a big step, or is that a learning step, or how did you take that step?
Yeah, Donald, tis, I suppose you got to start at the very bottom, you know. I did a lot of coaching within the club, from under 14 level up, and I would have coached in Cullen and National School as well. I had some good times out there, you know, just developing the game with youngsters.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, coaching is the most important thing, obviously, you know, at any level, you know, and the younger the better with basketball, because it's a skills game, basically, the ball in your hand, and I suppose maybe the eye and the step and all that kind of follows on. But maybe going back to your own days from playing and watching, I suppose, in many ways, these American imports coming in, playing with you over the years, does that kind of reignite your love for the game, or does it ignite your love for the game, or is there a culture that they bring in that kind of passes on to you, and you see how the game is played by different people, and you learn as you go along that way?
Yeah, they bring in a vibrancy to the gym, you know. I mean, obviously they have a lot of athletic ability, in some ways better than the Irish players, of course, but they're coming from Division 1, Division 2, 3 college basketball in the States, and their level of basketball, their commitment to basketball
is huge, you know, and that does rub off on the players then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I suppose we were talking about the jigsaw, of course, you had a very successful run last year with the under-18s, and I have to admit it was a hugely enjoyable year because I was watching a couple of games as well. What kind of learnings will you take from that, Brian? Of course, you've carried some of the players with you as well into the senior ranks, but that whole kind of band of brothers stuff, is that something that you can step up from 18 to senior as soon as you can?
Yeah, well, it's going to be tough on us, but last year we challenged ourselves in the Cork League under-18s, and we played against Neptune, Ballincollig, and all these big clubs in Cork, and, you know, acquitted ourselves well. So the youngsters, while they have a lot to learn, their game is coming on good at practice, and, you know, we should improve game on game as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, look, as you said, look, you bring those lads along, I suppose, so in many ways, Brian, you're, I suppose, like you said, trying to build something solid from the ground up, and I suppose that is basketball in its essence, and it's you know, if it's not good this week, you try and fix it, and you hope it's better next week, and you hope it's better the week after. Going straight into a season, though, I mean, you look at the I suppose the calendar games that are coming down the chart, is there a lot of time in between games to kind of fix things like that?
The time is not very, very much at all. We have a week between games in general. We're practicing now this evening, and, you know, we've got to speak about the things we did well yesterday and the things we can improve on. And then, of course, we have to look at our opposition and Limerick Sport Eagles, who we play next Saturday night, and they put up 100 points in Galway the weekend. So, you know, our defensive frailties yesterday in the first half would be a bit concerning, but we showed great grit in the second half to come back from an 11-point deficit. So we showed good character and a few hops of the ball here and there. We were well there yesterday. So with a home crowd behind us, I think, you know, we can get that extra push.
Yeah,
and help us get over the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, look, it's all about getting support in the door, of course, and you're over there in Clarny, Sports Complex, of course, the war, some people call it. Basketball, Brian, it's a real kind of razzmatazz game, I suppose, and, you know, the guys that go in the gate, you know, they pay their few bob or whatever, they kind of expect a little of that, whether it's just kind of skills or three-pointers or even maybe meeting the players afterwards and the whole lot. All that's kind of a cultural thing probably in the end, and maybe even a bit of madness on the bench from the coach or something at the odd time thrown in, it gives you that kind of evening. In many ways, you need a lot of things going on to kind of build that atmosphere as well, and of course, obviously, performance is key to that as well, and that's what the players will be building on. But, you know, are you trying to recreate that razzmatazz of, I remember the games back in the praise back in the day, do you know, I mean, people talk about it now, in many ways it isn't black and white, I suppose, for a lot of people that remember it.
I was playing in black and white.
It feels like it wasn't black and white, doesn't it? Like, I mean, God, I remember inside the praise, you couldn't get parking, you couldn't get in, and yet people watched it, and there was huge numbers, and there were huge big names as well.
There were fun times. We had some great local players, you know, in the press. But now with our group that we have, you know, we have some great entertainment before games. I mean, people want to get to the gym 45 minutes before the game. They're more than welcome to see the teams warm up and how they, you know, handle themselves going into a game. It's not just turning up and throwing up the ball and let's go at it. There's a lot to it. So, you know, people are welcome to get there early and to see how teams prepare for the game in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you've signed two Americans. Of course, there's a change to the rule this year, which is probably, I suppose, look, some people think it's great and some people are against it. But having two Americans on the court in your opening five or on court at all times as part of your five, I suppose, Tyrion and Brandon or Braden even, they're obviously falling in well with you.
They're both doing very well. Tyrion and Braden, they're very good, level-headed guys. They're young, they're 23, fresh out of college, and they put in good performances yesterday. Braden at 28 points and 8 rebounds, and Tyrion at 25 points and 11 rebounds, you know, and 5 assists. So, like, the boys are doing their job, and that's what we brought them here for, to kind of, you know, raise the level of our play and, you know, contribute highly on the scoreboard, which is what we need with just a young team. We, a lot of teams around the league are playing also with Europe. We don't have a European player as such playing with us in our team. Some teams, like the City teams, will play with two or three Europeans on top of the two Americans. So we're very much local based, and, you know, that's the way I think we like to keep it for now anyway, at least, you know, because it helps develop our players.
It does, of course, and I suppose the other side of it as well is that, you know, when people go to games, they want to see Jack O'Sullivan and Owen Carroll and, you know, Mark Sheehan and Ushin Spring and all these, and that brings the people in the door, that brings their friends in the door, and that builds, I suppose, onto what you want to get to eventually. Let's see, Brian, what I'll do is I think I've Braden on the line. Braden, are you there with us?
Yes.
Hey, how are things?
I'm good.
Braden, your first outing with St. Paul's yesterday, 28 points. How did you enjoy the occasion?
I really enjoyed it a lot, especially, you know, just how we fought back in the second half and really turned up our defense, and just the energy that we had in the second half and just the emotion. You know, I like to play with, like, emotion, you know, so I felt like I got, like, I was really into it, so it was very fun.
Yeah, and of course, energy is something that you associate with basketball, Braden, all the time. Is there a different kind of energy in the Irish game that you're playing now compared to what you would have played with in the States?
Honestly, I think it's like the same intensity, the same energy. Like, everyone is out there trying to win. Like, I'm always trying to win, so I think that's universal, no matter where you go, that it's always just going to be, you know, a high energy thing. So I think it's pretty similar.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting though, because Brian said that yourself and Tyrion are in the group, and obviously you're there to play, but you're obviously there as well to kind of pass on what you've learned and the skills and the whole lot with a very, very young team on the roster. To date, what have your thoughts on those young kids?
I think they're all very good people and good players as well. I think, like you said, you know, coming in to help them improve their games and help them build, that's something that I take pride in, honestly, because just like guys like Owen, he's like a bigger guy, and I kind of like, you know, give him tidbits on different things he can do down low and stuff, and just trying to build his confidence, and all the other guys as well, just giving them confidence to play their game and just keep getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyrion is on there as well, Tyrion Moss, or T as he calls himself sometimes. T, come here. Confidence is key, energy is key. How did you enjoy your outing yesterday for St. Paul's, your first game?
I enjoyed it a lot. It was really good. Wasn't the result we wanted, but as Braden said too, we came back in that second half with great defense, and I think we held them to like maybe 30 points compared to having them score 61 points in the first half. So, and it was our first game playing together, so I think throughout the season we're going to have a good chance to win more games.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Tyrion, it is a season, isn't it? I mean, like, obviously, you know, as I said to Brian earlier, you know, what you do in day one, you learn and you fix it for the game two, and you try and fix it for game three and game four and the whole lot. But you've seen enough already, I presume, through the off season and training the whole lot, to say that, you know, there is a really good crop of players there. There is a really good roster, and as you said, you know, you're going to get competitive, and you get to a stage where you get within points first of all, and then you get ahead, then you stay ahead, and then you start putting the W on the board.
Yes, exactly. That's our goal, is to each day come in to practice, learn new things, put things together, build our team chemistry, and then win games. So,
and win games, of course, that's what was most important. I don't know if Brian is still there, but Tyrion, what are your impressions of Coach Clark at the moment?
I love him. He's a good guy. He looks out for us off and on the court. We learn new things from him. Like, I already started to learn new things from him, and I'm adjusting to his coaching style. I'm pretty sure, like, we're all here to win games and get better, and So,
and of course, you haven't seen a home crowd yet, I suppose, coming in the gate. I mean, I know from training a lot of little fellas at under 10 and 12 and all that, they're hugely excited. What would it be like for you now the next day? I mean, seeing, I suppose, fans in your own gym, all ages, shapes, sizes, all shouting for St. Paul's.
I'm excited. We've got our first home game this Saturday. I heard we get a really good fans, and we get a little rowdy in there, so I'm excited to see how that works and how that looks, and we'll get the win on Saturday. So.
Yeah, and of course Coach Clark has probably fixed your target from 25 to 30 maybe this week, has he?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Braden, just jump across to you for one more minute and we let you off training then. The experience of playing college basketball, can you describe it to Irish people? Because look, I'd watch a lot of it on television and it's just absolutely immense. And we've had a couple of guys here in Tralee actually, you know, head from Irish college over to American colleges and learn the trade and come back and fit in the Super League and the whole lot. It's a tough competitive gig, isn't it, college basketball?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely is just like a next level of focus, like the attention to detail and just the way the game is played even, it's just so different. And it's just really mostly just a lot of, you know, dedication, time, and just hard work at that level, honestly, just day in and day out, putting in work to, you know, find your place out there and do what it takes to get dubs.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed there that you're 6'7", of course, it's always great to be a little bit tall. But, I mean, what advice would you have for a young kid out there tonight, 10, 12, 14 years old, who likes basketball but kind of wants to get into it and get a little better? Is there a skill they can learn? Is there something that goes to the gym? Do they join a club? What kind of bit of advice would you have for them, Braden?
My advice is just keep playing. Like, if you love it, like, you're just going to take it to the next level. Like, just keep playing basketball. That's the best way to get better, is playing basketball. Playing, you know, pick up with your friends, just working on different things, you know. Social media is big. Like, it's not too hard, you know, find a video or like a drill that you might want to try with mm-hmm. like all the different trainers and stuff there are nowadays. But just basically just keep researching yourself and just doing things to get better, and always and definitely work on your shot. Like, it's like probably definitely the biggest skill in the game at this point.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Keep, you know, working. Yeah.
Did you always know you were going to be a basketball, Braden?
I think probably like when I really started taking it seriously, and I was like, I have to like make this work. So kind of, but not like when I was way younger though. I don't know. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I might play football or something, but yeah, whenever I found basketball and fell in love with it, then from there it was just basketball, basketball, basketball.
Absolutely. Well, Brian Clark, if you're listening, you certainly got two good guys there, and hopefully the season kicks off next Saturday. Of course, that's when it kicks off. What can we expect, Brian?
Just excitement. We're gonna go at it now the next night. Limerick Sport Eagles like to pressure the ball. We're gonna have some stuff that we want to do against them to combat that. So you're gonna see tactical warfare on the basketball court, shall we say.
Good stuff. And have you got a nice pair of pants to wear?
I'd pick something up, Donald. You know, I talked to Geraldine there, and maybe she can help me out with the shopping.
You never know. Fair play to you. Listen, Brian, the very best of luck for the year ahead. As I said, we're all excited. We're bringing a crowd in, Brian, don't worry.
Please do, Donald. Yeah. The boys are good guys, and you know, we appreciate all the support we get locally. And of course, we have to mention our sponsors, Scott's Hotel, and all the associate sponsors who are very good to the team. You know, so we're looking forward to getting going and hoping for a big support this coming Saturday.
Absolutely. Well, you get off to training there. I'm going to have Enda Walsh on after the break. Enda didn't make the roster with you, Brian, did he? He's trying hard.
He's there in the background. I don't get away with much.
Fair play to him. Super job. Listen, guys, the very best of luck, Brendan. Or Brendan. God, I'm probably going to be calling you Brendan before the year is over, Brendan, anyway. And we'll stick with T for Tyrion as well. And the very best of luck to Brian. For now, we'll take a quick commercial break.
Thanks again, Don.
No more.
All right, thank you.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now joining us on the line is Enda Walsh, of course, and he is the PRO, of course, a very busy PRO of St. Paul's in Killarney. Enda, back again last week, a ladies' team, this week a men's team. God, you're fairly busy.
Yeah, I don't mind. Keeps me out of trouble.
Absolutely. Come here to me. Listening to the boys bidding in very early, Brendan and Tyrion, and they've done very well yesterday, between them over 50 points. It must be an exciting time with Paul's at the moment, particularly with the new imports.
Yeah, and you know, the two American rule, although I was looking there at the stat from the Super League, that there was only 8 more points scored this weekend than the same weekend last year. You'd think the two Americans might bring
more points,
extra scoring. But it hasn't. But definitely the two lads. It just brings a bit of excitement to the, back to Division One, anyway, as well. You know, where you have two Americans, and of course you have the youngsters there, and fairness, they've severe potential. So they just need to learn, as the lads are saying, learn off them and bring it forward. And I know Brian is very passionate about the job as well too. So I've no doubt that they'll do themselves justice this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at it, of course, it's a busy season, home and away, and the whole lot. You have a couple of home games in October.
Yeah. So next Saturday night, the Limerick Sport Eagles are coming to the Clarence Sports and Leisure Centre. So that's on 7:30 next Saturday night. Now, the Eagles look to have found a fairly strong duo in Daquan Davies and Keelan Coates. They scored 68 points between them the weekend. So that's going to be a big challenge for the lads. But they're up for it. And it'd be very important that as many people as possible get out there and show the support, because it's a local team. You know, it's a local team. They're all locals. We have a local coach. So it's very important people get out there and support them. And I know Ireland are playing rugby, but look, we all got Sky Record. Just record it and watch it when you come home.
Right, okay, rugby don't bother you. Come here, what can, Brian said excitement. What else can we expect at a home game? Obviously, there's interaction with the players and all that after.
Yeah. I mean, after the game, it's a bit like the club championship. The way they were rushing onto the field there to meet their heroes. There's no problem. People come on the court after, take photographs, get autographs, whatever they want to do. It's a very kind of an open kind of thing. Obviously, when the game is on, it's business. But once the game is over, there's no problem. You can take your photos and everything. And there's always a lovely atmosphere out in the hour as well, too, you know, for the game. So as I say, it's important the crowd. The crowd makes the atmosphere. It's important the crowd gets out there and supports the team. And the team will do the rest, you know, and that's all they're looking for, just a bit of support.
Absolutely, fair play. Listen, Enda, we've hit the clock. We've no time to talk County Championship, do you or nothing.
Before we go, just the ladies as well are on Saturday also. Now, they are an earlier tip-off time. They're on at 4:30. So it's not a double header as such. You have to go out, come back in, maybe go down to Supermax or the Killarney Heights for a bite to eat. But the ladies are playing at 4:30. And they're playing a little Limerick team. They're playing the Limerick Celtics.
Good,
so there's two games this weekend.
And of course, they had a great win against Carlow, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They were missing a few players playing County Championship in the ladies, but I think a few teams lost. So they should have a stronger team this week. But Limerick Celtics are stronger as well. So that will be an interesting game as well. So I'd say the ladies game, Supermax, back to the men's game, Saturday afternoon.
God, I might say, you know what, it sounds like a great advert altogether. Good stuff. Listen, Enda, thanks very much, and thanks to Brian and Brendan and Tyrion as well, and that of course is Killarney St. Paul's, and of course they're not the only Killarney team there. Obviously you have Killarney Cougars there as well, and we'll catch up with them the next couple of weeks as well, and their couple of games as well. And of course you have Clarkin back the road, who we'll catch up with as well, and I just think it's great because it's a fantastic winter sport, basketball. You can go, it won't be rained off. There's great excitement there, and you know what, maybe get out and support your local team. Obviously here in Tralee as well, you have Garvey's, and you're not really stuck for an excuse there in the evenings. And there's, I don't know, is there 16 or 18 games over a season as well, so there's plenty going on. Now a couple of bit of housekeeping. Hi Donal, fantastic show this evening. This is my favourite comment of the day already. I may be biased as a St. Cairns man, but I think St. Cairns have nothing to lose. We have a strong squad, and the management is getting the best out of the team, and I feel we could get a result. It could be a special season for us. And that's Tommy Dinhy above there in Curragh, and that's the thing about it, Tommy. We all support our teams. We all want to kind of get out there. And of course, those county quarterfinals, not this weekend. There's a break at last for some of the players. It is in a fortnight's time, I suppose. And as I said, there's a lot of great games to look forward to. We have Rathmore and Spa. Certainly can't wait to get back to work tomorrow to discuss that. McKerry and Nagail, East Kerry and St. Cairns, and Dingle and Temple Know, the team who have been in the last four quarterfinals, and none of us knew here at all this evening. And that tells you how exciting that is. What a fantastic show we had this evening. The Garvey's quarter-final draw, of course. I want to thank all those that made that possible as well. It's great to have and it's great to air it out there to as many people as possible. As we know, a lot of great GAA fans listen to Terrace Talk at home and abroad. And hopefully you'll stay with us, because coming up after this is Talks Us. And I think most GAA fans like a bit of music. And Mary Conroy will have her Talks Us with us. A big thank you this evening to Niamh. Niamh instead of Keane, so there was no Kilmiley this evening, but there was St. Pat's and Blennerville, the team that relegated St. Michael's Filemore back to junior level there a couple of years ago. So you have a big county league game coming up as well, and thanks for that, and Ivan of course. And we will do all this again next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.